The 10 o'clock hour of Will the Intel begins now, and it goes back to your calls. 844-770-3776. Let's start with FedEx Mitch in Oshkosh. Mitch, good morning, buddy. Where are you at on the emotional scale as the Packers lose to the Broncos and lose Micah Parsons?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I'm going to be on the side of holding out hope. We're still within striking distance of the division, and we're in the playoffs right now. Next, we put up 26 points on the best defense in the NFL. We put points up without Christian Watson. And, you know, we're not going to play another defense like that again the rest of the year. McManus made all of his kicks. He's back to form. And honestly, outside of Los Angeles, there's really nobody that scares me in the NFC right now. Even with our injuries, I think we can still beat everybody, no matter what. And we are more than capable of going on a run against those teams. And I always refer back to 2010. We still had 15 guys on IR, and we found a way. And I think we got to adopt that mentality of next man up. You know, Golden and Wicks, got to step up, man. Mm-hmm. Enigbare, Gary, Van Ness, you don't have Micah Parsons there to hold your hands anymore. Jeff Hafley, you know, you don't got your Ferrari out there. You got to start dialing up some more pressure. You got to adapt and adjust. So that's all I got, and I just want to thank you guys for having a heck of a show. You know, like I said, I do work for FedEx. I'm a delivery driver. You know, it's our crazy time of the year, but I try to listen to you guys as much as I can while I'm on road, and honestly, this time of the year, you guys help keep me sane at times. So thank you guys again, and thank you for taking my call.
Oh, Mitch, I'll be honest. After delving briefly into the YouTube comments, I needed that. So thanks for helping keep me sane. We appreciate you. Look, let's be clear here. Among the people that has to rise up, and Tausch, you said this at the jump, it's time for Jeff Hafley to be the guy we all think he is. If he is a future NFL head coach, if he is as good at his job as we want him to be, it is time. And let's remember, last year, one of the reasons why we view him with such high regard is because he conjured up quarterback pressure without anybody really being that good of a pass rusher. Right? I mean, I think they finished tied for eighth in the NFL in sacks, despite not having anyone even close to being Micah Parsons' ability. Their simulated pressures, the blitzes that he did send, like, those were all, that was what made him a candidate for the Jets job and makes him a candidate for jobs this hiring cycle. Is he going to elevate a defense that is right now crestfallen by losing its star? To me, that's the question.
I look at what Mitch just said. Totally, I'm on board with everything he has said. I do believe that this defense will have to do it a different way. Yesterday was alarming to me about how bad we were defensively. That was alarming to me. You're not going to win a ton of games. That is not a great offense. Denver is not a great offense. And they moved it all over the place on us. Chicago's not a great offense. The test will be Saturday. And our offense has gotten so much better. Jordan Love is playing really good football. We need to have Christian Watson back. But I am on board with the idea, whether or not this team can now get the one seed, I don't see that. But I definitely can still see a path where you win the division. And once you get in the playoffs, man, you know crazy stuff happens. And if Jordan Love plays like he's capable of playing, him and Matthew Stafford are your two best quarterbacks in the NFL. And why I brought up the Reggie White comp was because there wasn't anybody saying, it was a big loss. There wasn't anybody saying, Green Bay can't beat anybody without him. Because they had Brett Blank and Favre and an offense with Holmgren that was good enough, and everybody felt it. We have not felt that this year until recently. So we need to feel that. The team needs to feel it. And now your formula for winning, doesn't need to wholesale change, but the operation and how you get there does. And that's up to Matt LaFleur, Jeff Hafley, Jordan Love. What is our formula for winning games? Because it's not going to be, we got Micah, we can move him all around, and it's going to free stuff up, and we can close up shop with him. That is no longer the formula. And you don't have a ton of time to figure it out. You only got 3 weeks left of this season to position yourself to do it, and the urgency is very high.
That 1995 season, Reggie White was injured against the Cincinnati Bengals in there were three games left after they beat the Bengals that day. He did not play against Tampa Bay the following week in Tampa, and they lost. They then won at New Orleans, and then, if you remember, Yancey Thigpen, Merry Christmas Green Bay, drops a touchdown pass in the end zone for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Packers beat the Steelers to finish 11-5. And then Reggie obviously played in the New Orleans game and the Steelers game. Let's get another call in before we take a break. Let's go down to Dallas and talk to Jamon. Jamon, I'm very curious to hear where you're at on the emotional scale. What do you got?
I'm still feeling good about Packers. I mean, a lot of people are down because of the Michael Parsons thing, but this is a team last year. I mean, I feel like we're literally in the same predicament we were last year. We didn't have Michael Parsons last year. We didn't have him at the beginning of the offseason. And it sounds like a lot of people didn't believe in the team in the offseason because we didn't have Michael Parsons. And I still thought this team was going to be good without him. So mm-hmm. I still think we still have a lot of talent. I mean, you see Javon Buller has made a step. Evan Williams has made a step. Quay Walker has made a step. I mean, these guys are developing in the system and learning the system. So year two, seeing what these guys are doing. Without Michael Parsons, it is a big loss, but I'm not too worried about it. I still feel like we're a good defense. My biggest problem with anything was watching Christian Watson go down because I just know how he can stretch the offense and how he can expand plays, and he's a big, deep threat. I mean, he goes out, and I'm just saying, you can't move the ball downfield. One of my biggest takeaways from the games I want to touch on because it's something that's kind of been happening all year. Jordan Love's deep ball has not been the best this year. He's either underthrowing guys or overthrowing guys. And I think yesterday that play that Surtain made was a great play. I don't take it from him. He's a great cornerback. But if Jordan Love leads Christian Watson, which we know Christian Watson can probably outrun anybody, if Jordan Love leads Christian Watson, that might be a touchdown. So Nixon was doing it all day with Courtland Sutton. You know, you throw that fade route, you lead your receiver to the ball, he catches it. DB doesn't have a chance to make a play on it. And, I mean, it's just something that Jordan Love did. I mean, it's kind of why him and Matthew Golden haven't been able to connect because Jordan Love's kind of been off with that deep ball. It's something I noticed he did it in Detroit, and we had to go with Christian Watson again. We missed him the first time, so something to look for. Hopefully we figure it out, but I'm definitely not down on the team. Definitely feel like we have a lot left or so.
All right, Jamon, thanks for the call. I'm going to go look. I know Rob Domofsky wrote about Jordan Love's deep throws before going into the game. I'm going to go back and reread that because I know he had some stats in there on their accuracy. I think your Tausch's point on the Watson injury, Surtain interception play, it's true, right? I mean, the ball is just slightly underthrown, and that's what leads to the outcome that you get there. I don't know if I can agree with the fact that he's been off on it all year. I feel like of late he actually was on point. I thought the second interception, I mean, he throws that ball behind Wicks, and that's what leads to the pick, right? Like, he can't. The margin for error for Jordan Love has shrunk significantly now without Micah Parsons. Is that a fair thing to say?
Very fair, and I think Jordan's been pretty good with the deep ball. I think it's the best of his career. Did he underthrow Watson, or did Surtain just make a great play? I mean, it's obviously that was a poor throw to Wicks, and that led to the interception. So he's got to put the cape on, and he hasn't needed to for a ton of the wins this year. But in order to, you know, really press forward, this defense, I thought they needed pass rush help. They were expecting Lucas Van Ness. So if there's a silver lining to this whole deal, you have played a certain way all year. Jeff Hafley, now, if I'm the Bears, I am going back and looking at what did Jeff Hafley do last year without Micah, because he is now going to be able to pull some stuff out and do some really creative different things, which hopefully will lead to more turnovers, because that was the kind of the theme of last year. But everybody will have to elevate their game, and obviously Jordan Love is at the top of that list.
Are there really Packers fans saying, I don't even want to get to the playoffs at this point? Look, if that's where you're at, miss us with your calls, because I've got a few people have said that now in tweets. Look, what are we doing here? Really?
It's the dejection of feeling like you can't win a championship.
Just let people feel their feelings, man. People are sad and down.
I don't even want to make the playoffs now.
You get your hopes up thing, and then, we still win the NFC North, and we're going to host the Seahawks in the first round, and then
that'll be a fun game.
Lose, and then
sign me up for that. That'll be fun. Like,
it's the dangling the false hope. It's like the Bucks getting into the playoffs as a 6 seed, and you're like, maybe, and then they get bouncing.
Not this year. I don't feel that.
Or the Brewers, but we don't have to talk about the Brewers right now. It's the hope and then the dejection of losing. And
well,
and you're there.
First off, it'd make no sense. At this point, you already got 9 wins. The only reason fans would ever want to do that is to get a better pick. So, no, I...
Josh DiMaggio, losing would make that second round pick higher. Yes, indeed, they don't have a first round pick. So there's not a lot of upside to losing a bunch of games either. I get people are disappointed. I understand. You can feel your feelings. I'm just that. You talk about polluted mindsets. Okay, well. Feel your feelings, as we like to say. Thank you, Eleanor, for that quote. I'm going to quote Vince and the incredible team at Lakeland Supply. Look, I don't know a lot about packaging and supply chains. What I do know is that Vince and his team are the best in the business at it. They are phenomenal. And core values are an important piece to any successful business, and Lakeland Supply is no different. They've been displaying their core values in the industrial supply space for over 40 years. Integrity, excellence, stewardship, partnership, and faith. They're ISO certified, a Future 50 winner, they're top rated in customer satisfaction, and they believe in giving back to the community. Lakeland isn't one of those catalog companies either. They work to be your packaging and supply expert, building plans around what you want. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. So set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. More of your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Get right back to the phone lines, 844-770-3776. That is the Carbless Talkin' text line. This is Wilde and Tausch. Let's talk to Chuck in Sheboygan Falls. Chuck, thanks for holding on. Good morning. How you feeling as a Packers fan today?
I'm doing all right. I mean, it's very disappointing, the loss, obviously, of Micah, but I think Hafley's just going to have to come up with some special ways to get some pressure. He did it last year. And we're going to need our corners to step up, too, I honestly believe. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, I wish we could hear something about the injury to Williams, because I think he's a big loss to lose from that safety spot.
So let me interrupt you briefly. Now, Matt LaFleur said after the game that he didn't think his or Zach Tom's injuries are long-term. I saw Matt Schneidman of The Athletic, who said that he spoke to Williams after the game, and he said he doesn't think it's a long-term issue either. Now, whether or not he can be better and able to play in 6 days, we'll have to wait and see. But that does not sound like it. It is something that's going to keep him out for an extended period.
Okay. Well, that's good, because I think he's, you know, he's an outstanding player. We need him back there. Also, it'd be nice if Nixon would give up on all of the personal foul and his antics and just play. That's my opinion. And I would like to know what you think, especially Tausch. I think Love is playing great. I just wish, it seems like more and more every week he's just throwing off that back foot. And even though he's been fairly successful with it, I think in the long run it would certainly make him more accurate if he wasn't throwing off the back foot as much as he does. Let me know what you guys think about that.
I'm glad you brought that up. And, Tausch, I wanted to ask you about that too, because during, you know, you mentioned, I don't remember which game it was. I think it was the Vikings game, where you talked about how Greg Olsen's commentary would influence how people thought about the game. And listening to Romo and Jim Nantz, they talked about Love throwing off his back foot in kind of a admiring way. Like, and Romo actually said at one point, I don't know if there's anybody that throws off their back foot as often as Jordan Love does. I don't know about you, but I was always told that you don't want to do that. Do you think that that's a fair point, that maybe that's not such a positive that Chuck is suggesting? Because I had the same thought, frankly, after Romo said that.
Well, I think what's happened is Favre did it, and then, you know, everybody would talk, well, Favre, don't study me. You know, you understand how I study plays and everything else. Don't mimic it. Rodgers did it too, and I think it was more from an injury prevention standpoint, why they like getting off their feet so that their ankle or that their feet aren't stuck in the ground when people are rolling into it. So obviously, you don't want to make every throw that way, but there were a few sideline throws that he did that, and they were beautiful. So it's kind of figuring out what works for you. Everybody wants to have perfect technique and form. There's a 44-year-old dude that came out of retirement and played, and he has the worst, or the most unique, is how I'll put it, form, and he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. So there's 100 ways to skin cats. There's 100. You find out what your road is, and then you perfect it. That's how it goes, and so I am not going to sit here, and I get what Chuck is saying, and trust me, when he is off his back foot and he short-arms something and it gets pick-sixed, I get it, man. But this is part of his deal, and I think less is more with him doing it, and I think he's probably maybe leaning on it more than maybe everybody would like, but his numbers have been really good. Jordan Love has been playing some of his best ball. And I'm not going to sit here and tell him he needs to change how he approaches it. Not right now.
Yeah, I would be curious to look, because I feel like Rodgers, I feel like listening to him, he would talk about you're stepping into the throw, but you're elevating. Like, I don't think it was like fade away. I think what Chuck is getting at is kind of those falling backward throws, whereas to your point, you're right. Both Favre and Rodgers talked about during their careers, but I feel like it was stepping into their throw but still being, like, off their feet when they actually released the ball because of that injury prevention. I'm going to have to go back and look because I'm curious about that. Let's get to another call before we take a break. Let's go to Cedarburg and talk to Tim. Tim, good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch. Thanks for holding on. How are you feeling today?
Holding on. How are you? I'm feeling good. I do want to hit on negatives and then positives. One negative, it seems like you don't want other teams' players to get hurt, but sometimes you're hearing about somebody that's nursing an injury, you're thinking, well, I hope they don't play. Well, then we go ahead and lose two of our top guys. It's two of the three top guys. That was tough, particularly Micah Parsons, he was really starting to endure on people, and people really seem to like him. Some of the things, like when he said about Nixon last week, about him having little man syndrome after that interception and stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot to like there.
I thought he was really enduring himself to people. A couple things. One thing to remember, 2010, when we won the Super Bowl, we were injured a lot. We were limping into that, into the playoffs, barely made it in. So maybe we can do that. And if LaFleur is a coach, I hope he is, he needs to be sitting down today and saying, this is for Micah. This is for Tucker. This is for Christian. Let's bring it. Everybody, you need to play for these guys. Let's get them a ring, you know? And yeah, that's what I think.
I understand. Thanks for the call, Tim. It's a good call. Tausch, I don't want to undercut a source of hope for people. But you were among the players that suffered injuries in the 2010 season and was on IR when we got to the end of the year. I don't know, is it fair to compare what that team endured with losing your best defensive player and your best offensive player? Like, you lost Charles Woodson to a broken collarbone in the Super Bowl, but he was there. He and Clay Matthews were the Micah Parsons-ish player on defense for you guys that year. Fair?
No, it's not. I don't think it's a I would not make that comp. I know every time guys get injured, you do that. There's a hierarchy and a tierdom to all of this, and Micah Parsons at the top of it. That does not mean, I mean, the New York Giants won a championship with Jeff Hostetler quarterbacking. You can figure out your formula and find a way to win, and I think this roster is good enough to be able to overcome some things. That's if you set yourself up in the right way. If you can win Saturday and somehow piece yourself together to be at two spot and maybe the one spot, I feel a heck of a lot better. Saturday to me is going to tell you everything you need to know. Because if this team has to go win three roadies, I didn't like it even with Micah to go to win three roadies. I don't like it a lot less. Or I guess I like it a lot less if you have to do that without Micah, without Tucker. It just makes it, it's so hard to win. But this year is different. It is a goofy year. There isn't some elite juggernaut. Everybody's all up on the Rams. And the Rams deserve to be the top dogs. No doubt. They lose to Seattle on Thursday. They're a 5 seed. Okay? So let's, everybody, there's just, this is the beauty of this business and the beauty of the NFL.
Yep.
Last week at this time, we're talking Super Bowl, and man, are we good. Nobody can beat us. And 6 days later, we might not even make the playoffs, and we stink, and we ought to get draft picks. Yeah, it sounds crazy, but that's the beauty of this. And you can sit and pout and cry and whine. It's, oh, you, if you're a fan, this is what you sign up for. It ain't always going to be sunshine and rainbows. Fans have to persevere, too. And fans, it doesn't matter as much. Your resiliency can take time. Players, it can't. So let's just enjoy. Like, this sucks today. Yesterday sucked.
No doubt.
But guess what? We could be doing this show a little bit before Christmas, and we're going to end up, if we win Saturday, we're going to be the 2 seed, minimum. And that ain't so bad. And then all of a sudden, you can start finding a path like, oh, well, let me take a look. Oh, well, Watson's back. Our offense is shooting thing. Yeah, we're good. Halfley's got these fun little blitz packages that are working. McKinney's back intercepting balls, and our formula is different. And but we're going to overcome this? That's a hell of a story. So I love this job because it is day-to-day and week-to-week. And sometimes you're, everybody is happy and telling you, oh, this is great. And then there's other days where it's like the world is caving in. Let me tell you something. The world ain't caving in yet. Now, you lose Saturday.
Yet. Nice.
If you lose Saturday, all of a sudden, starting to, you better have an oxygen tank. Okay? But that's the beauty of this. And anybody that tells you anything different, like, oh, everything's great, don't worry about it. Yeah, no. I saw a GIF like that, too. That doesn't mean it's right. And nobody owns the right opinion. We're all leasing these opinions. Till we see what happens on the field. Okay, so I saw some people that think they know everything about football. Let me tell you something. You don't. You don't. I'm guessing you probably picked the Packers to beat the Broncos because you're a big fan. Great. Be a fan. But then don't tell everybody else you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Booey on that because you don't.
We will lease some more of your opinions with an option to buy.
Yeah.
Booey.
Booey.
Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Oh, man, I got a lot of confidence in our team and the guys in that locker room. You know, like I mentioned, it's a tough loss, but, you know, it's a good learning opportunity for us. You know, it's a playoff caliber game right there against a really good team. So we'll be able to bounce back, and it just comes down to making the plays. And I think they made more plays than us tonight. And like I said, give them credit. But, no, I got plenty of confidence in the guys in that locker room that we'll be able to bounce back from this.
That's Jordan Love in Denver after yesterday's loss to the Broncos. Before we get to Mo in Illinois, quick question, Tausch. Let's say the Packers lose by the exact same score, the exact same way, but Micah Parsons doesn't, theoretically, tear his ACL. Christian Watson doesn't end up having to be taken to the hospital for a chest injury. They don't have any of the injuries they had, but they still lose the game the same way. Where are you at today?
Same as I was last week.
Yep, me too, right? They lose, not a great loss. Defense didn't play well, but I'm not suddenly doubting them. It's the Micah Parsons injury that is a gigantic cloud over all this. That's not, I understand, very insightful, but this is not about them losing to the Broncos, in my opinion. This is all about, how much do you believe the Packers can survive and thrive to some degree without Micah Parsons? Let's get back
with
to
that said, losing to the Broncos is no shame in that. That's a good football team. They're going to be in the mix. I don't know. Until yesterday, I didn't trust Bo Nix. And then, you know, the son of a gun's out there, Drew Brees in it against our defense, which is supposed to be, you know, top tier. It wasn't yesterday, but okay. That doesn't mean that it won't be or it can't be. But that was the disappointing part. But no, I really felt like this team has all the pieces. When you have a closer and you have an offense that's coming around, you feel really good about it. Now, you take him out of the equation, you'd be an idiotic mathematician to not think that the algebra, right? You're supposed to equal both sides.
Mm-hmm.
You take that out of the equation, it doesn't. And you can sit there and put your head in the sand and act like it does, but it doesn't.
Let's get back to your calls. Let's go to Mo in Illinois, who I'm sure will be having a lovely week this week. Mo, good morning. How are you?
Terrible, like I'm sure Packer Nation is. Losing Mr. Parsons, it just, to me, I think this is really going to expose some glaring weaknesses on the Packers' defense, in particular our secondary. Micah Parsons gets to the quarterback as fast as anybody in the NFL. Even if he doesn't sack yet, he's going to get his pressures. Our secondary yesterday looked putrid. I mean, that was tough to watch. Keyshawn Nixon, for as loud of a mouth that he has, he talks so much, and he doesn't really, like, okay, yeah, cool. He had the interception at Caleb Williams threw right in his hands, but I don't know. He just bothers me. I'll be honest. I'm not a big Keyshawn Nixon guy. Carrington Valentine, he has butterfingers. The dude can't catch to save his life. My goodness. And then
not a great tackler.
Now with Evan Williams.
Not a great tackler.
So if you can't tackle, if you can't catch, Tausch, I mean, we better put like somebody's grandma back there. I think they'll do better than that because that's just pathetic.
Phillip Rivers.
Well, I mean,
let's get Phillip.
Yeah.
Bring Phillip in.
Yeah, Phillip.
Mrs. Rivers.
No, listen. Carrington's got to get his act together quick, fast, and in a hurry. This entire secondary does. And now, oh, look out. Evan Williams is hurt, so guess what? They might throw Javon Bullard back there at safety with McKinney, and then guess who we'll have to watch? Mr. Nate Hobbs. Are we ready for that? I'm not.
I'm not ready for that.
I don't know. It looked like he was getting medical attention after that incompletion in the end zone on the 12th. Rush a 12th man onto the field play late there.
As soon as he puts his shoes on, he probably gets medical attention because this Packers team seems very soft. Damn. They always get hurt. I think Rashawn Gary, too. I mean, this guy, he talked post-game talking about, oh, we're going to, you know, we got to get our act together. We're going to have to step up. Rashawn Gary, for the amount of money he makes, what has he proven? The guy disappears. We got to send out an Amber Alert for him. I mean, I don't believe in him. I don't believe in this defensive front without Micah Parsons. So I'm very concerned. Nobody on this Packers defense scares you. I guarantee you the Bears and the rest of the NFL are out there saying nobody on that Packers defense scares us. But guess what? Micah Parsons did. They had to game plan for him. But now we don't have that. So that's why I've personally lost all hope. You know, I'm just being a realist. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer. But I don't see us winning in Chicago. We might be Baltimore and Minnesota, but I'm – yeah.
Quick question. You don't think we can beat Chicago without Micah?
I don't. I think Caleb Williams is going to be dancing in the pocket all day long. I think he's going to be scrambling. I don't trust Gary to contain. I don't trust anybody to contain. Caleb Williams is super hard to sack. It's going to be a nightmare in Chicago. I'm just calling it from now. I hate to say it because I hate the Bears. I live in Chicago. I can't stand them. I can't stand their fans. I can't stand Ben Johnson, that good, better, best sucker. I hate them all. But I don't have a good feeling Saturday. I don't.
All right, Mo. All right. Thanks for the ray of sunshine. We appreciate you. I think
he said sucker there.
He did, yes. To make sure. Just to be clear, yes.
I heard an S loud and clear.
Got a little tricky there for a second. I thought
indeed.
Unlike the volleyball post game interviews last night on ESPN, that got a little.
That was Booth, right? Who was the one? Was it Booth?
That was Carter Blank and Booth. Yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah, love that.
Yep. Does not
emotion.
Does not want to blank and lose. Yeah.
I think Mo is protecting his feelings. If I were to diagnose.
Oh wow.
Because he lives in Chicago. He's surrounded by Bears fans. He's going in with a polluted mindset into Saturday night now. So then when they win and they beat the Bears in Chicago, then he can feel the euphoria of, all right, here we go. We're still in this. Halfley came up with a good game plan. They didn't run through us like Swiss cheese. They got after Caleb Williams, there's reason for hope. That's what I'm. That's the read I'm getting,
Jesse,
from Mo.
Jesse, quick question for you. Without Micah Parsons' pass rush, do you believe in this secondary?
I would believe in it more with Evan Williams back there.
That's not what I asked.
Well, that
Evan Williams is back there.
I think that is, okay. If Evan Williams is
I
back
just said
there,
he's
yes.
back there.
Then yes.
I just said he's back
yeah.
there. All right, you feel good about it.
I trust McKinney and Evan Williams anchoring it down, and I think you got enough with Nixon and Valentine if both are out there.
All right.
You can do enough. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if they do cornerback prize picks projections, 0.5 interceptions, 0.5 pass breakups, whatever it might be, but you could play them if those were available on prize picks.
Well, I mean, yesterday you could have put Bo Nix up with Drew Brees' stat line or John Elway's or any other quarterback, and it would have looked shameful. I was wrong. And it's good to be right, and I was wrong. And with Prize Picks, it's much better to be right. And you know what? It's still fun. Simplest way to play daily fantasy, make your player picks. Less than 60 seconds, more or less on at least two player stats, and if you get them right, cash in. I went Jordan Love less. Blech. Not good. I thought Denver's defense was better. I thought, nope, wrong. Bo Nix, 22 completions. I don't even know how many completions he had. I know he had over 300 blanking yards.
He had 23 completions. It was
23,
set at 23
so right there. I was less on that.
I went 0-4 based on what we had talked about on
yeah, we sucked. sucked yesterday, just like the Packers defense did. But you know what's great? We got another crack at it next week. That's the beauty of Prize Picks and deposits. They're fast and easy with Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use code WI. You get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that is code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good
to be right. Not as fun
to not stink and get every blanket pick wrong. You could go either way. I think it's good to be right is a better tagline, though.
We're one break behind. We'll get to another call before we get to the 11 o'clock hour next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Get to one more call, then we'll get to the top of the 10 o'clock hour, 11 o'clock hour, then we'll get to more of your calls. So, Connor, Justin, Chris, Don, and Eric, please hold. Let's talk to Brandon in Tulsa before the start of the 11 o'clock hour. Brandon, thanks for holding on, buddy. How you feeling? Baby, how you feeling? After the Packers loss.
Hey, good morning, guys. Feeling confused. I know I don't have 10 minutes to talk to you about this. I know you got a ton of calls still. But I really would like you guys to discuss this in depth after I hang up a bit, you know, once you get back for the third hour.
What a thoughtful caller Brandon is, by the way.
Very
concerned
courteous.
About yeah, our program yeah. management.
He could be a program director.
Yeah, I know none of you guys are going to watch the clock, so somebody has to. Listening to Tausch and Homer last night and basically everybody calling in today, you would have thought we lost our starting quarterback. You know, in the NFL in 2025, there's a reason why Jordan, Josh, Burrow, they take up so much of the cap compared to even the best left tackles, edge rushers, defensive backs, whatever. And I just... You know, in the off season, everybody was saying, we're going to find out who Jordan Love is this year. We're going to find out what we feel about this guy. Because I do know that for, you know, Aaron Rodgers' career, it really didn't matter what happened throughout the year, injury-wise. If 12 was healthy, we got a chance. We've got 12. Tausch was talking about when Reggie pulled his hammy. And he said, yeah, the feeling in the locker room, those guys may have been feeling somber, but they've got, you know, Brett, Blank, and Favre. Well, we've got Jordan Love not only healthy, but playing at a very high level. I think he's still number four in the MVP odds, but you would have thought that Jordan Love was the one carted off the field and told, all right, we'll see him in 8 months. And so I'm just really confused as to what... This tells me what Packer Nation feels about Jordan, okay? It tells me that we like our guy. He's a good dude, good locker room guy, good quarterback. But we don't have the mindset of, hey, man, we've got Love, so we've got a chance. I mean, what's it going to take for us to get back there? Is Jordan going to have to take this team without Tucker, without Micah, and go win a Super Bowl? For people to start saying, hey, it really doesn't matter at the end of the day. As long as we've got a really healthy Jordan, we're going to be scaring people as far as making runs at Super Bowls. I'm just confused because I'm not thinking the season's over. Yes, it'd be great if our roster was fully healthy. It really would. I'd like to see Tucker Kraft catching touchdowns in the postseason. But Jordan Love is healthy. He's playing well. So what are we doing here? Why is everyone talking about, well, it'd be really nice once everyone's maybe healthy next year? Your quarterback is healthy. So I'm not burying my head in the sand. I get it. It's going to be a lot tougher. But is he the guy or not? Do you think Buffalo Bills fans would react the same way if they lost their best defender? Josh Allen's
never
been to a
Super Bowl. They did lose him, and they didn't respond that way, Brandon, to your point.
They didn't. I'm like, what are we doing here? I really am genuinely confused. I get it. I'm going to get off the phone here. You got, you know, clock management is strong in Tulsa, okay? But I would like you guys to discuss this and explain to me why Packer Nation and everybody else is acting like Jordan Love went down instead of Micah Parsons. I love Micah. Great player. But he's not the quarterback, okay? Show me the edge rusher who just signed a four-year $220 million deal. It doesn't happen. You know why? because he's not the most important player on the field. And as long as Love is healthy and playing great, I can't figure out why everyone's acting like, well, better luck next year. Appreciate your time, fellas.
That literally at 11:10 a.m. Central Standard Time is the absolute best thing that's been said on today's program.
So, Jason, and what I was trying, Brandon did this 100 times better than I did. I think Brandon should probably have his own show. What I was trying to bring up is when Reggie got hurt.
The Clock Watcher podcast.
He would have been to break by now.
There wasn't that vibe. I don't know if that vibe... There is the vibe now with Packer fans. No, there is.
Do we know that that was not the vibe? You weren't on the team. I wasn't covering the team.
I wasn't on the team. You were an intern. You're doing something.
The first Packers game I ever covered was Yancey Thigpen on Christmas Eve. So I was not there for the miracle hamstring healing. So this is a great idea by you from earlier. I actually thought about texting Favre to ask him about this. I don't know if I'll get a response or not. I don't know what he's up to these days. But this is exactly what I'm curious about. Because I think it was a great comparison that you made. And then Brandon lifted it another level. So I would like to devote more time to this in honor of Brandon's great take. I would appreciate it if you would tell us about your love of Coors Light so we could get to the 11 o'clock hour.
Yeah, we had a tough day out in Golden, Colorado, losing the game, losing Micah, Watson gets hurt. You know what? When that all happens, you need to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged. So it is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
The 11 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.